time to bring to you today's message by Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. May God bless you as you listen.
Financial bondage when someone finds that no matter how hard he tries, there is no financial breakthrough. There could be mental bondage when a student, for example, remembers everything except when he gets to the examination hall. And then there could be marital bondage, there could be spiritual bondage. Bondage could be in various forms. But there is someone here tonight who's going to be free from every form of bondage. Now, if you are that person, the Almighty God is waiting to hear from you. He wants a kind of shout from you that pulled down the wall of Jericho. Tried. But you see, one thing I have discovered is this. Nobody stays where they are praising his enemy. And hallelujah means praise the Lord. So whenever people are shouting hallelujah, demons run away. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You know, one day I was discussing with my daddy, and I'm sure you know who my daddy is. I said, "Daddy, why did you ask the children of Israel to shout before the wall of Jericho fell?" He said, "I just want them to praise me on credit. Let somebody go ahead and praise God on credit. Just praise him in advance. Praise him to show him that you know." Raboko Shada. Brekeke Roboko de Raboko Shate de Raboko Shada. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in advance. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. So I... Amen. In one of my discussions with the Lord, when I was just asking, why do you say, clap your hands, all ye people? Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. Amen. Don't worry, you will have enough time to do all the praising today. Daddy says to me that all you need to escape from the grip of Satan is a second. And many a times, when the enemy is about to capture you and he hears you praising him, shouting, clapping, he stops for a while. Then I know the expectation is high. I know you are ready. But let me finish. He says the reason the devil stops for a while is that he wonders, why are you shouting? Why are you rejoicing? Do you know something that I don't know? And when he stops for a while, before he could regain his composure, you are gone. So go ahead now. Praise the Almighty God. Shout unto him. Praise him. Clap unto the Almighty God. Glorify his holy name. Praise him. Give him all glory, all honor. Praise the Almighty God. Glory be to your name. Father, we bless your holy name. Ancient of days, we magnify your holy name. The Lord of hosts, we adore you. Tonight, fight our battles for us. Show your power tonight in Jesus' name. Show your majesty tonight in Jesus' name. Show to the whole world that you are alive in Jesus' name. And at the end of everything, take all the glory and give all the blessings. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let somebody shout another hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want you to prophesy with your own mouth now. As you shake hands with two or three people, Tell them, I am going to be absolutely free tonight. Shake hands with two or three people. Tell them, I am going to be absolutely free tonight. And then you may be seated. God bless you. Now, let's quickly go to the Word of God. We want to talk about absolute freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 36, John 8, verse 36, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. How? Indeed. When we talk about bondage and captivity, the Lord Jesus Christ made a statement that is very, very illustrative. It is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. Luke 11, 21 and 22. He said, when a strong man keeps his house, everything is in order. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and takes away his weapons, then he can loot his property. That tells you something straight away. That a captive is not as strong as a captor. The captive is always not as strong as the captor. Otherwise, he would have freed himself. And the one who is going to set the captives free must be stronger than the captor. If the deliverer is not as strong as the captives will not be free. But glory be to God, there is a deliverer who has never lost a battle. There's a deliverer that is stronger than every captor. That is why I decree tonight that in the name that's above every other name, every captive shall be free tonight. Now there are many a times that some people are captives, but they don't realize it. That is why I need to explain briefly the difference between bondage and captivity. When we say someone is in captivity, it's not necessarily follow that is bound. All it means is that it's imprisoned. Whether the prison is a physical one, or a spiritual one, or at times a social one. But when we say someone is in bondage, it means in addition to being in prison, he's also bound.
For example,
in Acts 16, from verse 22 to 24, Acts 16, verse 22 to 24, the Bible tells us that after they put Paul and Silas in the innermost part of the prison, which means they were already captive, they still put their feet in stock. In other words, they made doubly sure that they would not escape. There are some prisoners who move freely about in prison, but they are prisoners. Joseph, a successful prisoner, but he was a prisoner. There are some people, because they are rich, because they seem to be doing well, they don't even realize that they are already captives. I mean, there was the case of someone who was asked by people in the same society of darkness. And they asked the lady, when do you want your husband dead? And she said, oh, he has just won a contract. Let him make more money for me before we kill him. Now, that man is already captive. He didn't know it. His day of death is determined by the one he's married to. Now, don't look at your wife. It's not your wife I'm talking about. All I'm saying is that it is possible for someone to be making money, to be moving about, and yet be a prisoner. Now, I am saying tonight, as the Almighty God lives, whether you know it or not, every captive shall be free tonight in Jesus' name. Since I can sense the presence, the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit already working here, I will not preach a long sermon. I will just explain a few things and then get out of the way for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. What are the signs of bondage, signs of captivity? Just a few of them. One of the signs of somebody who has fallen into the trap of the enemy, who has been captured by the enemy, who has been imprisoned by the enemy, it's the inability to do whatever they want to do. I have visited some prisons, and I see the people there. Maybe because they knew I was coming, they were neatly dressed. There was joy all around because the GO is visiting. But when it is time for me to go, the door shut against them. Much as they loved me, much as we had a wonderful time together, when it is time for me to go, they couldn't follow. Inability to do what you want to do is a sign of bondage. There are people here tonight who would love, and I mean seriously love, to build churches for God. Am I correct? Anybody like that here? Yeah? And why can they not? Financial bondage. The naira is not there. They have big dreams of what they could do for the Almighty God. Something can't allow them to do it. There are some people who want to witness for the Almighty God. They want to tell the world how great our God is. But there is one little reproach in their lives, that if they talk too much, people will say, you say this, your God is so powerful. If he's as powerful as you say he is, what about everything in your life that is hindering you from doing what you want to do for God shall be removed tonight. I've told you this story, and I've only shared testimonies that some of you have probably heard with your ears from the people concerned before, or you've seen with your own eyes. I've told you the testimony of a woman living in Ilori, as a capital city of Kwara State, while I was a lecturer at the university there. And they came to say to me, sir, there is somebody you must come and pray for. Oh, I said, I'm a busy man. Go and bring the fellow. Bring the lady. They said, no, she can't come. You have to go. I said, why not? Because she was suffering from a peculiar disease. I don't know if the doctors have a name for it. The disease is that if you switch on any electrical appliance in the house, instead of the current flowing in the appliance, the current will be flowing in the woman. For example, if you switch on the fan will not rotate, but the woman will rotate. If we switch on the electric iron, the electric iron will remain cold, but the woman will get hot. If you switch on the fridge, anything inside the fridge will not get cold, but the woman will get cold. So I said, go and bring her. They said, there was a time they tried to take her to the hospital. They put her in a pickup van. As soon as they tried to start the engine, you know, current has to flow from battery to start the engine. As soon as they turned the engine, the current picked her up and threw her out of the car. So they said, she cannot leave her house. And they dare not put on the electricity. Everything that has tied you down, that has surrounded you with darkness, shall be dealt with tonight in Jesus' name. So I went there. Even though she was a strong Muslim, I explained the situation to her. I said, listen, there's only one fellow who can set you free. His name is Jesus. I didn't have to preach long. She gave her life to Jesus. We prayed a simple prayer. After the prayer, we switched on the fan and the fan began to rotate. We switch on the electric iron, the iron began to get hot. You will be free tonight. Another sign of bondage is when somebody begins to go around in circles. Like a goat that is tied down. You know, the goat can move a little. Only it cannot go beyond how far the rope will allow. So the goat can beat a track round the peg to which it is tied. What does that mean? There are some people, whenever they have a major project in view, and they begin to prepare, just before the project can be executed, something will happen and all the money will vanish. Then they go back to square one and begin again. And just before they succeed, everything will fail again. It's the story of Samson in Judges 16, verse 21. Judges 16, verse 21. When the enemies captured Samson, they put him in a place where he was grinding corn. And if you see the way they do it in those days, he had to keep on going around in circles, pushing the grinding mill. Some people have been going around in circles all the years. When they think they are making progress, they only discover after several years that they are back to square one. That evil circle in your life will be broken today. I've told you this story. This one happened in my state, so that I don't tell you too closely a detail. One wealthy man fought with a juju man. And because he was wealthy, the juju man knows that if he goes to the police, the wealthy man will settle the police. So, the juju man said, "All right, you control the court, I will control the demons." Some people need help there. It's either they need help or somebody has just got a deliverance. And so the juju man waited. You know, they fought over a piece of land. He waited for the rich man to begin building. And he would do nothing. He would wait. The man would build and roof the house. The very day he has roofed the house, the juju man will go and plant something at the foundation of the house. By the following morning, there will be cracks from top to bottom all over the house. So the house will have to be pulled down. And then the rich man will start again. Juju man will wait until it is roofed. He will put his charm. The cracks will appear, the house will come down. That house was never built. Whatever it is, all these years that had kept you just going around in circles, round and round and round in the same circle, the Lord of hosts will deal with it tonight in Jesus' name. Another sign of bondage is fruitless efforts. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were working hard, very hard. They would wake up before the sun, they would return home until after the sunset. But what is there to show for it? Nothing. It's like the story of Peter in Luke chapter 5. All night long, Peter was throwing his nets. He would throw the nets and catch nothing. He would throw again and catch nothing. And throw again and catch nothing. He walked all night.
But in the morning,
was there any sign that he walked? No. Not a single fish.
There are students, believe me honestly, who study hard. But because they don't pass their examinations, what is the evidence that they work hard?
Nothing.
There are people who work hard in the various offices, very hard working. But one way or the other, the week of assessment for promotion, they will offend the people who should recommend them. Year after year after year. But because Jesus lives, all fruitless efforts will end tonight in Jesus' name. Another sign of bondage or captivity is stagnation. No forward moving, no upward moving, no movement at all. I mean, like in the case of Paul and Silas, they even put stocks in their legs so that there will be no movement at all. I mean, no movement at all. A sister was saying to us, he said, if you look at the materials in my shop, you will say I'm a billionaire. But somehow, nobody comes to buy. Not a single customer from morning to evening, Monday through Saturday, week by week, month by month. That's unnatural. Tell me something had happened. There are some people with the best of qualifications, and they are on one spot. Some people have been on one spot now, only God knows for how long. There are many people living in Lagos. You know the reason they can't go home? There's nothing to go and show the people at home that they've been in Lagos all these years. There are people who traveled abroad and they keep writing to say, we are coming next Christmas. Christmas never comes. Because they have been on one spot for years. In that name that's above every other name, beginning from today, your forward movement and your upward movement will begin. Some of the people sitting on my left will remember this story. He brought a man to me in the office. He was looking like a madman. But when he began to speak, I was surprised. Queen's English. And then I discovered he has a PhD in agriculture. But he had never been able to get a job. Not once. He had borrowed from friends. Friends were tired of giving him money. You know, there are situations when you have borrowed so much that when your creditors see you coming, they run. In other words, the one you are owing, no problem. Just don't come and borrow more. He was looking like a madman. When he told me the story, I said, you should know this is not ordinary. Grammar is not going to solve this problem. The only one that I know can solve the problem is Jesus. He gave his life to Jesus. We prayed a simple prayer. A week later, the governor of his state sent for him. I said, we need someone to be commissioner of agriculture. From nothing to commissioner. I decree in the name of Jesus, your promotion will be accelerated. Another sign of bondage is frustration, which is understandable. I mean, if you are working hard and there's nothing to show for it, if you've been going around in circles, or if all of a sudden you find that the people I employed have become my superior, of course, frustration will come. I mean, I remember the story of one of the professors in one of the universities who saw an advertisement. I saw the salary and said, this is much better than that of a professor. And he applied. And when when the day of interview came, he entered the room for the interview. And who did he see sitting as the chairman of the interview board? One of the children that he taught at the university. He opened the door, saw the boy. He said, I'm sorry, I must have... No, no, the boy said, no, sir, you have come to the right place. He said, no, I've come to the wrong place. Because if you are the chairman of the board interviewing me, automatically, you're going to be my boss. I have good news for somebody here tonight. Every ground that you have lost, you shall recover. You know the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. It tells you the story of the widow of a son of the prophet, whose husband died and left her with two sons and a load of debt. I'm telling you, that woman must have prayed, God, help me pay my debt. But in the meantime, anytime everybody saw her coming, sister, how are you? Oh, praise the Lord. All is well. The Lord is my shepherd. Until the creditors came. And said, if you don't pay us by tomorrow, we are going to sell your two sons into bondage. When they saw her, daddy, I said, sister, how are you? She said, all is not well. They said, I'm going to cry to the prophet of God. And that day, the tide turned. I don't know for whom God arranged tonight, but I have that deep feeling within me that the tide is about to turn for somebody. If you are the one, let me hear you say amen loud and clear. I've always told you this story is one of my favorite stories because it shows the power of the great deliverer. That's why I keep telling this story. So if you have heard it before, hear it again. If you haven't heard it before, then it will be very refreshing to you. A very wealthy man. I think at the time of this the story began, he had about 54 vehicles. Quarreled with his wife. And the wife said, by the time I finish with you, you will trek in this Lagos. And the man laughed and said, silly woman, how can I trek? 54 vehicles, cars, buses, everything. Unknown to him, he was married to A powerful woman, powerful in quotes. All the power that is not of Jesus Christ shall be destroyed here tonight. And little by little, things started happening. Little by little, little by little, until the man had only one car left and had 50 kobo in his pocket. At that time, 50 kobo was still a lot of money. So he said, I have 50 kobo in my pocket. The fuel is running low in my car. If I use this 50 kobo to buy fuel, what will I eat? If I use this 50 kobo to eat, then I will trek, like my wife said. Out of that deep frustration, he ran to Jesus. And the Almighty God took over. Within a year, he dedicated 2 new houses. Whatever had been reducing you gradually to nothing shall be destroyed tonight in Jesus. You better say amen as if you believe it. Another sign of bondage is sorrow. The sorrow could be because of tragedies, or at times the sorrow could be something you can't even explain. And the doctors will call it depression. They always have big names for demonic activities. But if you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 15, Luke 7, verse 11 to 15, you find the story of the widow of Nain, who was going to bury her only son. And if you look at that story very closely, you will see that once upon a time, this woman knew joy. There was the day she got married. That was a day of joy. There was the day she gave birth to this boy that she was going to bury now. That was a day of joy. But then tragedy began. First, the husband died. But she said, well, she comforted herself by saying, I still have a son. I can hold on to this. And then the enemy struck again and killed the only son. Technical people, God bless you. Help those people. You are a wonderful group, and you will remain forever wonderful. I appreciate that this is a very big auditorium. But I'm sure you also appreciate the fact that we have spent close to £1 million on public address system. So we shouldn't be having this problem. God bless you. So tragedy struck again, and this widow lost her only son. And I can imagine her as she was going to the burial ground. Every step she took her deeper and deeper into sorrow. Because she knew that all those who were going with her now to the burial ground would soon go to their own homes. And there'd be nobody for her to return to at home. But on the way, my daddy met her. Jesus stopped the procession into sorrow and said to the woman, weep not. In that name that's above every other name, there is somebody here tonight who will never weep again. And when he said, weep not, and he moved like he's going to move here tonight, suddenly the woman who was trekking with her head bowed, going deeper and deeper into the valley of sorrow, turned back. And I could see her, that she was not walking with her head bowed when going home. She must have been leaping and jumping and dancing and praising God. That will be your testimony tonight in Jesus' name. I don't know if you remember the testimony of a sister who suddenly discovered that anybody she fought in a dream will die. She didn't know how it began. She just discovered that anytime she fought with anyone in the dream, in less than 2 weeks, that fellow will be buried. At first, she didn't bother too much about it, because many of the people she fought in the dreams are people she didn't like anyway. But one day, she fought with her husband in the dream. And 7 days or so later, the husband died. No problem. And then one day, she fought with her mother in the dream and told the mother, Mama, because he had told the mother before what was happening. And Mama said, it's nothing. When she told Mama, Mama, I fought you last night too. Then Mama said, that means I'm going to die. The woman said, it looks like so. So the mother said, well, it may be too late for me, but please seek help. Because after me now, it will be your children. The mother died just before we went to their town to hold a congress. And she came, told me the story. And I said, no problem. I know a deliverer. I know the one I believe. I know the Lord of hosts. I know the Lord strong and mighty. I know the one who is mighty in battle. I know someone who has never failed. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah? She gave her life to Jesus, and that was the last time she fought anybody in a dream. Whatever the enemy had planted into you, every plant which my Father did not plant shall be uprooted in Jesus' name. Let me give you just one more sign of captivity, and that is fear. When an animal, those of us who are village boys, you know how we lay traps to catch animals for food. You know, you dig into the ground, you put the trap, you cover it very neatly, you remove every sign that will dog the ground. And if any of these city boys should come along, he will just walk into the trap. And then you put some food on this side of the trap, some food on the other side of the trap, so that when the animal is coming and he sees food, and there was no food here yesterday. But he's hungry, that's why he was going about. So he will eat a little. But as he's eating, he's moving back, eating and moving back. But when he is eating, all that is on this side and nothing happens. You say, maybe this is God's provision. And then he wants to move to the other side. And as he moves, he steps on the trap. And the trap snaps shut. The first thing that happens to an animal caught in a trap is wild fear. All of a sudden, he knew, I'm in trouble. The Bible says, fear has torments. There are some of you, wonderful children of God, you are afraid in the morning, you are afraid in the afternoon, you are afraid in the night time. Some people are afraid when they sleep that they may not wake up. Some people, when they wake up, they are afraid that when they go to work, they won't return. Some people are afraid that if they apply for a job, they won't get a job. Some people are afraid when they get the job that there will be enemies waiting for them in the office. That thing that is causing you fear, in that name that made heaven and earth, will be removed from your life tonight in Jesus' name. I should tell you this story too. Don't worry, I'm about to close. I didn't even know I'd be able to preach this long. When I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos, as a Christian, you're supposed to lecture for 50 minutes so that your students can use the remaining 10 minutes to move over to the next class. In my own case, I will lecture for 50 minutes. I will use the remaining 10 minutes to witness, to tell them about Jesus Christ. As they are going towards the next class, I'll be going and I'll be telling them Jesus saves and so on. So one day, one of my students, a lady, looked at me and said, "Sir, you are paid to teach us mathematics, not to preach about Jesus. Teach mathematics and shut up." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Because after all, she was correct. And looking at her, I know she must be the daughter of an influential somebody. And I didn't want to lose my job. Then one day, they were waiting for me in my class. They got to the class after break, so they arrived a bit early. And all of a sudden, she looked at her arm and saw that some people have written something in Arabic underneath the skin. What is this? What is this? And then one member of the class came and said, "They've got you." So she said, "Who are they?" The boy said, "You don't know that there's a cult in town that anyone they catch, supernaturally they write under her skin or his skin. And once they write like that, whatever they ask you to do, even if they ask you to kill your mother, you will obey." That day the lady was no longer a lady. Fear gripped her heart. And she began to cry and then somebody said, "Go to Pastor Adeboye, go to..." So they brought her. "Please help me. They have got me." And
And it was time for me to go and teach.
So I said, I am paid to teach. Let somebody shout hallelujah. I'm talking about 1975, so you know I was much younger then, a little rascally, not quite as sober as I am now. So I told her. She was rolling on the ground. I said, you want deliverance? She said, yeah, you wait. When I've done what they pay me to do, we will come and talk. So I went, taught my class, and she was sitting on the floor, crying. All the hair on her head that was neatly done was now. And then I said, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? Before I finished it, she said, yes. She gave her life to Jesus, and we prayed a simple prayer. Now, those of you who know University of Lagos, you will know that there is what we call the main campus and what we call the College of Education. They are separated by just about maybe 1.5 kilometers. My office was in the main campus over there, and her hostel was in the College of Education here. After I prayed for her, I said, you can go now, don't worry, all will be well. But the thing was still there. So she left and came to the hostel. As she got to the hostel and took the key from her purse to open the door, she glanced at her arm, and the writing was gone. Every mark of the enemy upon you shall be erased tonight in Jesus' name. So, how can I be free? Yeah, you'll be free tonight in Jesus' name. How can I be free? Number one, you must be willing. Because God will not force you to be free if you don't want to be free. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus Christ said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door to me, I will come in unto him. If you don't want to be free, nobody can force you. Although if you are disturbing your husband or disturbing your wife with demonic powers, there is something we can do about that. We can do something about that. And we will do something about that. And then, after you made up your mind, I want to be free, the next thing, of course, is you must contact the deliverer. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 68, verse 1 to 3, it said, let God arise. And what will happen to his enemies? They'll be scattered. And what do I do to get God to arise? It's by praising him. That's why I spent so many minutes at the beginning asking you to praise him so that he could arise. Because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. In fact, the Bible says he is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So if all of a sudden he hears someone praising him, he will arise. Because all over the world today, people are praying, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, give me husband. God, give me wife. God, promote me. And then suddenly he hears someone at Redemption Camp
saying,
Father, I love you. You are wonderful. You are good. You are kind. There's no one like you. All power belongs to you. You are higher than the highest. You are greater than the greatest. You are better than the best. He will say, thank you, Jare. Let me pay you a visit. That's what happened in Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. After they put Paul and Silas in prison and they put their feet in stocks, they say, you've done your worst. We will praise God. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing. And as they were singing loudly. They were making such a noise that they woke up all the prisoners. And the Almighty God said, there are some worshippers somewhere here. Let's go and visit them. And you know it's the Lord of hosts. He doesn't walk alone. As he was coming with the host of heaven. And when the angels arrived, and they were all milling around the prison, that's why there was an earthquake. There will be an earthquake here tonight in Jesus' name. Bible said the prison doors were forced open and every man's yoke was loose. You must be willing to be free, you must contact the deliverer, and you must be willing to come under a new authority. You must be willing to come under a new management. Up till now, some of you have been managed by the devil. Some of you have been managed by yourself. Now you need the deliverer to be your manager. In Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he added immediately, take my yoke upon you. Come under my management. So you must be willing, you must contact the deliverer, you must surrender to a new management. How do I remain free? Because God is going to set you free tonight. I need to tell you how to remain free. Number one, check what it is that led you to captivity. Because some of us walked into the trap with our eyes open. Some of us did. Some of us ate what we shouldn't eat. Some of us touched what we shouldn't touch. Some of us did some things behind closed doors that we shouldn't have done. That's how we got into problem. I remember a brother came to me and said, the mother is the one who came. Please, pastor, help us, help us. I said, what's the problem? My son was going to Lagos, and then somebody was with him in the bus, and they touched him with something, and his male organ disappeared. I said, nobody touch your boy. Ask your boy to confess what he did. If you won't confess, then male organ gone forever. I return to the fellow who had been weeping like a baby. What did you do? Then he committed adultery on this holy ground. That's why you lost your man organ. Don't you know? Do you think it's ordinary anointing that is here? I'm sorry, sir. I will never do so again, sir. It is somebody I thought I was going to marry. I said, all right. My God is merciful. I will beg him for you. So we appealed to God. And his man organ was restored. What is it you did that led you into trouble? Find it out. Why? Because after God has set you free, if you don't plug
the avenue through which the enemy came in,
the enemy will come again. And according to the scriptures in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45, Matthew 12, 43 to 45 says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he will go in the dry places looking for somewhere else to rest. When he finds none, he will come back to check the former house. And then he finds that it is the place is still empty. And while he was going about, he met some other demons. So he will say to them, come, I have accommodation, come and join me. The Bible says the end of that man would then be worse than the beginning. That's why I say to you, if you are not determined to live a holy life from now on, don't seek deliverance. Manage with the one you have now. The one you have now, bad as it is, just go on managing with it. Because if God sets you free tonight and you go back to a life of sin, Lord have mercy on you. And then remain forever faithful and forever grateful to the deliverer. You know the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Mark 5, verse 1 to 20. When that mad man of Gadara, that specially mad man, was set free by Jesus Christ. He came to Jesus and said, you set me free, I will serve you. Jesus said, good, go and preach to your people. Tell them what God has done for you. I want to appeal to you tonight, after the Almighty God has set you free, testify. Keep telling people about the one who set you free. Remain holy, remain faithful, remain grateful. Do I hear amen to that? Is anyone here tonight, therefore, who is not yet born again? Is anyone here tonight who is not sure of his or her salvation? I beg you in the name of the Almighty Jesus, come and give your life to Jesus. Why? Because very soon, demons will be flying out of people. And if they fly out of someone and they find you not covered in the blood of the Lamb, they will go into you. And I'm not threatening you, I'm just telling you the truth as it is. So I want to be free. Or because you don't want to carry additional demons home, come and surrender your life to Jesus tonight. You know, once he covers you in his blood, there is power mighty in that blood. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 10. I know some of you are very far off, so you better get off now and begin to run. Come and surrender your life to the only deliverer who can set you free. The choice is yours. If you want to remain in darkness, the choice is yours. If you want forces of darkness to keep on grinding your nose in the dust, the choice is yours. If you want to come to the one who can translate you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous son, the choice is yours. There's only one deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. The word of God says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You give your life to him, every force that has been holding you captive will be compelled to loose you, to let you go. 7. Come. The Lord is waiting for you. As you come, begin to talk to the Almighty God. Say, Lord, I've come to surrender my life to you. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Begin to pray. Don't wait for the others.
The rest of you who are coming, hurry up. I know some of you are coming all the way from the road, so I will wait a little. But you have to come now, because it is 8. We've counted up to 8 now. Come, the deliverer is here tonight. He's ready to save your soul. There is power mighty in his blood. The power to wash away your sins. The Bible said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. There is power for victory in that blood. There is power mighty in the blood. So hurry up now quickly. It's the Lord that is calling you. As you come, just keep on praying. Almighty God, I've come to surrender my life to you. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Save my soul. Save my soul. Save my soul. I can see many of you still coming, so I wait a little, but hurry up. Nine now. It is nine now, so you have to really move. Brethren, the rest of us who are already sure of our salvation, will you please intercede for these people? Stretch your hands towards them. Pray for them. Pray that the Almighty God will save their souls. Pray that God will be merciful unto them. Pray that the one who saved you will save them also. Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. Pray that the Savior will save the soul of every one of them. Now those of you who are still coming, you have to hurry up now, because I'm about to pray. I'm about to pray for the salvation of these people who are in front. And I can still see many of you still coming. Hurry up quickly. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Yes, Lord, save their souls, every one of them. Be merciful unto them, O Lord, save their souls. Hurry up, I can see those of you who are still running. Hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord is calling you tonight. Come. Come and give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Those of you who are still coming, don't wait. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. This is your day. Don't miss this day of salvation. Hurry up. Hurry up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, those of you who are still coming, just keep coming. Just keep coming. Even while I'm praying, keep coming. In the mighty name of Jesus. Savior, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in the word that brought these people to salvation. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. They have come, receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Cleanse them in your blood in Jesus' name. Write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And tonight, as you are setting the captives free, set them free also in Jesus' name. And let them serve you for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. How many of you want to be completely free tonight? Free body, soul, spirit, free financially, free mentally, free maritally, free emotionally, free ministerially. Stand on your feet and shout a big hallelujah. Have to try a little harder than that. I mean, shout a really big hallelujah. You know, we are very many. We are very many tonight. For God to be able to single you out as the one who requires special deliverance, your shout will have to be a little louder than that of your neighbor. Come on, shout hallelujah! 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 Only one prayer to pray before we go to special ministration. And if you like, pray it gently. If you like, pray it with all your heart. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, arise for me tonight and scatter all my enemies. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Arise. Fight my battles for me, O Lord. I want to be totally free. Arise, Father. Let all my enemies be scattered, enemies known and unknown. Arise, O Lord. Let all my enemies be scattered. Arise for me, Daddy. Arise, arise, arise. Fight my battles for me. Fight my battles for me. Arise, soul. Arise, soul. Arise, O Lord. Fight my battles for me. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Give me total victory tonight. Give me absolute freedom tonight. Fight all my battles, physical, battles, mental, battles, spiritual. Fight all my battles, ministerial, battles, financial. Father, fight all my battles. Arise, O Lord. Arise for me. Arise for me. Arise for me. Arise for me. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
There is a possibility that you might know one specific area in your life where the enemy has been tormenting you. It may be physical, it may be material, it may be marital, it may be spiritual, it may be any other way. Please talk to God specifically and say, in this particular area, Father, set me free. Set me free tonight. Set me free tonight. Set me free. Set me free. Set me free. Set me free.
The Almighty God will answer your prayers in Jesus' name. The blood that conquered Satan will conquer for you. The Lord of hosts will arise for you. He will fight your battles for you. He will scatter all your enemies. And you shall be free. Completely free. Absolutely free. Forever free. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Now, for just another 10 minutes or so, we want to help those of us whose faith might be not so strong. We want to join our faith to theirs. All we want to do is sing and praise God, but we'll do it warlike, so that there might be some people who are not yet fully decided whether they want the demons to go or not. While we are praising God, the Holy Spirit will move. So as we are dancing and praising God, if you see somebody behaving a bit abnormally near you, just signal to the ushers. They will move the fellow out of the place so that they won't cause much confusion. But I have done that for a few minutes. We'll do the final prayer and we'll be on our way. I want to invite all our speakers and the elders to please join me here so that we just stretch our hands towards these people. Join your faith to theirs so that everybody can go home completely free tonight. Are we ready? All right, let's go.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
Healing power, saving power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
Healing power, saving power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
There is power, there is power, there is power in the blood.
Power, 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 power,
And the Lord sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. There is power in God's word. Thank you for listening to today's message from Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. We believe you've been blessed. If you need this message on audio CD, please contact RCCG Internet Outreach, USA, PO Box 710874, Houston, Texas, USA, or call 281-541-3864 or visit the Nigeria office at 15 Erickmore Close off Erickmore Street, Surulere, Lagos, Nigeria. Telephone 234-890-5822. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.